Savior's love to me. Love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? He came from his blessed throne, salvation to bestow, but man made strange and none that longed for Christ would know. But oh, my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend. Sometime they strew his way, and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day, hosannas to their King. Then crucify is all their breath, and for his death they thirst and cry. Why, what hath my Lord done? What makes this rage and spite? He made the lame to run, he gave the blind their sight. Sweet injuries, yet they at these themselves displease and against him rise. They rise and needs will have my dear Lord made away. A murderer they save, the Prince of Life they slay. Yet cheerful he to suffering goes, that he his foes from thence might free. In life no house, no home, my Lord on earth might have. In death no friendly tomb, but what a stranger gave. What may I say? Heaven was his home, but mine the tomb wherein he lay. Here might I stay and sing, no story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like mine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Monday-Thursday meditation. And a special welcome to you if you haven't joined us before for one of these. It will be a short time together. It's a really odd, we're entered into a really odd time. I mean, we're living in an odd time anyway, but this weekend is particularly, it's particularly strange not to be doing the things we would normally do. So we would normally on a night, on Monday, Thursday night, we would be gathering in church. And we might do a couple of things. We would sometimes we would wash feet, and for obvious reasons we can't do that. We're not allowed to be near each other, and it's usually a funny experience when we invite people to come and have their feet washed, and someone often takes a turn at washing mine too. We can't do that tonight. The other thing we do is we gather to take communion together, to celebrate Holy Communion, to take the Lord's Supper around the table together. And we can't do that either. I think communion is something that we do together. We do it as we gather. I know some people are trying to do it online, and there's all sorts of thoughts about that. But I think we're in a place where we need to miss taking communion together. We need to feel the lack of that, because one day we will do it again. We will take communion together in one another's presence. So we're holding off from going down the online communion route, and we are waiting for the day when we'll be able to do that again. So I hope you understand that. I know some people have different views on it, but that's the line we are going to take. It seems to be a line that many Anglicans around the world are taking. So we're abstaining from communion, and not because we want to do that, but because we have to for now. But tonight is the night when we gather, and we would be thinking about the institution of the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to do that tonight. We're going to take some time to remember what it is all about. And I'm going to share God's Word a little bit, a reading from God's Word, and then we're going to meditate on that Holy Supper, that Last Supper for Jesus and the disciples and what that meant. And we might come with a sense of longing, that we would long to take communion ourselves, and we maybe come with a little bit of grief that we're not able to do that. But in so doing, we come into the Lord's presence, and it may well be that he will encourage us. In fact, that would be our prayer. My prayer would be that he could encourage us and meet with us tonight and move us in our spirit, and know that, to know that he is with us, even when we are unable to take the bread and the wine ourselves. So thank you for being here. Hopefully this will work without any glitches. I'm going to end quietly. I'm not going to come back on. This is it. Just to remind you that we are going to try and meet at 12 here online again tomorrow on Good Friday. We're doing two kind of meditations, but I've got a kind of all age storytelling of the Good Friday story that's come out of some guys in Australia have put something together, which will be about 10 minutes, and then we'll have a longer meditation on the Stations of the Cross, and then we're going to gather together on Zoom to pray together. Many Christians around the world are gathering tomorrow, Good Friday, at 12 here in the United Kingdom. It will be at 12, so we're going to join with other believers who are going to be praying for the nation, praying for deliverance from the virus. So the words that we'll use will come up on the screen tonight. It's largely visual. There's a little bit of liturgy towards the end that you might want to engage with, and I hope that you will do that. So thanks for being here. Do join us tomorrow at 12 if you're able to do that. So if you have a Bible to hand, you might want to open the Bible to Mark chapter 14. And our reading comes from that. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there.' The disciples left, went into the city and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.' They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, 'Surely you don't mean me?' 'It is one of the 12,' he replied, 'one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is a night on which we remember. We remember something that happened so long ago that none of us can trace our family trees back that far. We remember something that happened so far away, most of us here tonight will never have been there, and probably or possibly never will be. But nevertheless, on this night, we remember. We remember that on this night, Jesus and his friends were also gathered to remember. They gathered for a Passover meal, which is exactly a feast of remembering. Like us, they would have gathered around a table. They were telling the story of their faith. Like us, they were calling to mind the saving acts of God. They remembered God being with them in steadfast love, even as they were treated harshly and enslaved. They remembered God leading their ancestors in faith out of slavery and turning their bitter burden into sweet freedom. And they dipped the vegetables in salt water to remind them of their tears. And as they ate the sweet fruit to remind them of their joys, they were putting it all together. That's what remember means, to put something back together. We remember something, and what was scattered becomes whole. What was many becomes one. And so they remembered together, Jesus and his friends, their identity as God's covenant people. Simon was there, who Jesus had named Peter, and Andrew, John and James, the brothers, sons of Zebedee, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, another James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, another Simon, the Canaanian, and of course also there was Judas Iscariot. As well as them, there would have been the women. The women who likely prepared supper. The ones who are neither named nor mentioned, but who, logic and the fact that before the end of the story we learn of their names, that tells us that they were there. Surely they were there. And so they were all there to remember God's great and saving acts. They were there, in a sense, to remember who they were. That's why we're here this evening, to remember who we are. And so they gathered to remember, and then Jesus did something inexplicable. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, said, "Take, this is my body. Take, this is my body." It wasn't the first time Jesus had taken bread and blessed it and broken it and given it to people to eat. But those other times he did it for great crowds. Here in this large upstairs room, somewhere in Jerusalem, Jesus did it for his friends, the people he loved. He did it for a group of people who, from the beginning of their time together, mostly didn't understand what he was doing and where they were going. He did it with some level of confidence that this was, in fact, the Last Supper he would share with them. On this night, at this meal, the meaning of the bread was predetermined. Matzo, the bread eaten at the Passover Seder, is called the bread of affliction or adversity. In Isaiah 30, it says this, "Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them." The matzo reminds of the suffering of the slaves in Egypt. But on that night, Jesus tells his friends, he is the bread. He will suffer. He will be broken. Then scripture tells us, Jesus took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, the new covenant." Again, Jesus had taken this night of remembering and done something new and electrifying and inexplicable. The meaning of the wine at the Passover meal is consistent. The wine is shared as part of a blessing, the Kiddush. "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine and who gave us, Lord our God, with love, festivals for happiness, holidays and times for joy, this day of Passover, the time of our freedom." At the Seder meal, the Passover meal, wine is drunk in blessing and celebration and abundance, and the sharing of it is meant to show freedom and majesty. And then Jesus, after passing around the wine, says, "This is my blood." Jesus tells his friends his life will be poured out in much the same way as the life of the Passover lamb. Jesus joins with his friends to remember, to celebrate the Passover, a meal that resonates at the heart of their identity as Jews. At the same time, Jesus interprets the bread and the wine of that meal in a way that forms the heart of our identity. That's what we gather here to remember, to remember. We're putting it back together in all the fracturing and the separation that we experience at the moment. In remembering, what was scattered becomes whole. What was many becomes one. that which circumstances separates, we are brought together as we remember the body and the blood and the presence of Jesus. We remember that Jesus spoke of his body being broken like a piece of bread, and he spoke of his life being poured out like a cup of wine. Jesus suffering for the sins of the world. Jesus taking the sins of the world upon himself, his body broken, his death in our place. And now Jesus is not hidden from us anymore. Our eyes can see our teacher. We see in Jesus God's love is poured out like a never-ending cup of wine. We see in Jesus God's presence comes to us, our daily bread, bread for the journey. We see in Jesus God acts with love and power, and the goal again is joy and freedom. All these things we see when we remember, when what was scattered in our history becomes whole, when what was many, that would be us, becomes one. Like Jesus and his friends, we will again one day gather around a table, and we will tell the story of our faith, and we will call to mind the saving acts of God, and like them, we will sing. And so we pray tonight for the nations, for others, for ourselves. Let's give thanks that the news this evening is that the Prime Minister has been taken out of intensive care. So we give thanks to the Lord that in his grace and in his mercy, Boris has been delivered from the sickness. Let us pray to the Lord, who is our refuge and stronghold. We pray for the health and well-being of our nation, that all who are fearful and anxious may be at peace and free from worry. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for the isolated and the housebound, that we may be alert to their needs and care for them in their vulnerability. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for our homes and our families, for our schools and for our young people. And we pray for all in any kind of need or distress. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Let's pray for a blessing on our local community, that our neighbourhoods may be places of trust and friendship, where all are known and cared for. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And let's pray for ourselves and for all those known to us and for our communities that as the news that we are going to remain in lockdown for a little while longer, at least another week, we pray especially for those who are struggling with the lack of contact and who are finding it emotionally and mentally increasingly difficult. We pray for peace in their hearts and in their minds and for help from those that are able to offer help, even if it's only words over the phone or via social media. Help us to encourage one another. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to have a song now that our musical friends have put together. I think this is Gillian and Sheila singing on this one, Everlasting Arms. I just received it today, so I thought we would give it a global exclusive this evening to help us as we come to the end of our time together. I know that some will be wanting to go out at 8 o'clock and celebrate and clap our gallant NHS people. Let's remember Mark Gilmer. Mark had a medical this week and is going back to serve in the NHS. So let's remember Mark in particular and others known to us who are going to go back in and serve people and look after people. But let's celebrate the NHS at 8 if we're able to do that. So we're going to put this song up. The words will come up and hopefully everyone will be able to join in.
Lean on the everlasting arms.
What a great job that was. Thank you so much to our musicians, to the singers and keyboard player. I think it was David probably playing on that, but maybe not. Maybe it was Gillian. I'm not sure. But thank you. What absolutely beautiful. And thank you for all the hard work that's been put into putting these songs together in the format that they're in. We're going to end our time together this evening. And we're going to use the words that we would use if we were taking communion. We do this every time we take communion. And it's I just feel like these words were kind of written for a time like this to help us as we bless one another and as we take all the troubles that we face and all the things that we're feeling, we send them to the cross of Christ, which we remember in all the pain as we come to Good Friday tomorrow. So we're going to use this blessing to bless one another and to be reminded of how much we're loved by God. So we say, all our problems we send to the cross of Christ. All our difficulties we send to the cross of Christ. All the devil's works we send to the cross of Christ. All our hopes we set on the risen Christ. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon us and scatter the darkness from before our path. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. We're going to end tonight with where we began, and we're going to listen to this song again. My song is Love Unknown, wonderful hymn. This version just came out today. It's by a guy called Matthew Todd, who's singing and playing. Matthew is a member of our sister church, St. Silas, in Glasgow. He's a very, very, very gifted musician and singer. And I asked if we could borrow that when I saw it this first thing this morning. I contacted him and said, can we borrow it for our service tonight? And he said it would be an honour if you used it. So I'm going to, it's good value, so I'm going to do it again. I just find it really moving and helpful. So this is, my song is Love Unknown.
My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? He came from his blessed throne, salvation to bestow, but man made strange and none that longed for Christ would know. But oh, my friend, my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend. Sometime they strew his way, and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day, hosannas to and crucify is all their breath, and for his death they thirst and cry. Why, what hath my Lord done? What makes this rage and spite? He made the lame to cares and needs we'll have. My dear Lord made a way. A murderer, they saved the Prince of Life, they slay. Yet cheerful he to suffering goes, that he his foes from thence might free. In life no house, no my Lord on earth might have, in death no friendly tomb, but what a stranger gave. What may I say? Heaven was his home, but mine the tomb wherein he lay. Here might I stay and sing, no story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend.